Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from both our Old Testament and our epistle readings, Isaiah chapter 2 and Romans 13. Would you be a little bit surprised this morning if I said I wanted to talk to you about stewardship? Because our texts for today really are filled with stuff about lives of stewardship. You might say to me, well, I didn't hear anything there about money or giving. And you're absolutely right. But that's the truth of the matter, that stewardship really isn't about those things. Yes, they are part of what stewardship is, but stewardship really is far bigger than that. So when we're talking about stewardship, we're really talking about managing the lives that God has given to us and the possessions that he has given to us. You might also say, well, I didn't hear anything about that either in our text for today. I just really didn't see the stewardship thing at all. Well, again, you're right, because the main theme of our readings for today is about Advent, rightly so, this being the first Sunday in Advent. It's about the coming of God to us. That's the main theme. But what I would like you to see this morning is that the appropriate response to God coming to us is a faithful life of stewardship. And that is an important part of our readings for today. So very quickly, let me just run through our readings to show us where we find that. First, we can begin with our gospel reading, and it sets the theme for today, as we said earlier. That is all about God coming to us. Verse 5, quoting the Old Testament, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey. And then down in verse 9, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we're going to stop there because that's not the passage where we find the stewardship stuff. I'm sure I could pull some kind of stewardship principle out of there, but we're not going to do that because we're not trying to find stuff. So let's just leave that as setting the theme for the day of God coming to us. But where we do find things about stewardship are in our Old Testament and our epistle reading. So go to the Old Testament reading, verse 2. What do we see? That God is establishing the mountain of his house. So in other words, God, who is in heaven, comes down to earth to establish his dwelling and his presence here among us, in our midst. And when God comes and he's in our midst, then the people see this and they're being attracted to it. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, they say. And when they go there, what happens? Well, God is still coming to them even more. He's coming to them in the word, and he's teaching them his ways. And what's the response to that? You get down to the last verse, verse 5. It said, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And that is stewardship. Right there. The managing of our lives and the things that God has done to us. Come, let us walk, let us live, let us conduct our lives in the light of the Lord. Again, that's stewardship. We find the same thing then in our epistle reading for today. It talks about the day is drawing near. It's closer now than it ever has been before. And really what they're talking about is Christ's second coming, him coming again. And so we see that that's getting closer and closer all the time. We don't know when, but it will be here. But while it is acknowledging that God is going to be coming to us, it also recognizes that he's here present among us. So it says, the new age is coming, but it has already dawned. And that happened when Jesus came the first time. So the fullness of the day is not here. That will be when Jesus comes again. But the dawn has occurred. And so God is indeed with us. In Christ, in the Word and the sacraments, the dawn has already happened. And again, then the Apostle Paul says, how do we respond to that God coming to us? It says, let us put on the armor of light. and let us walk properly as in the daytime. And you can see both of those passages have the same theme of light and walking. And in both cases, that's what stewardship is about. How do we conduct our lives in response to the God who has come to us in grace and mercy? This time of the year is much about giving. We just came off Thanksgiving a couple of days ago, and hopefully all of you had a blessed Thanksgiving, an opportunity to stop and to remember the wonderful gifts that God has given to you. The gifts that he's given to you in abundance, really. Wednesday night when we got together, our Old Testament reading was about that. It says, God is bringing you into a good land that will provide abundantly for you. And we recognize that's true for us as well. God didn't give us a place where we just have enough to get by, that we have just enough to sustain ourselves and not die. No, this earth that God has given to us is abundant, and we see that in our lives. We have far more than what we need, and that is God's generosity to us. And so we stopped, and we gave thanks to God for his gifts. And you see, that's stewardship too, responding to God in his gifts to us with thanksgiving. This coming week is Giving Tuesday. You know, okay, so maybe it is in response to Black Friday and Small Business Saturday and Cyber Monday and all of that stuff, but what's going on? I think the thing was people were saying, we're spending an awful lot of money on ourselves and those who are really close to us. What about those who are in need? And so Giving Tuesday is really about charity. And that's stewardship as well. Recognizing how much God has given to us and saying, you know, we can help others too who don't have as much as we do. And so if you feel led to do something on Tuesday, you know, God bless you in doing that. We always seek to do it for the right reasons and thankfulness to God and as a part of our lives of stewardship. And then, of course, you know, not too long away is Christmas, and that's about giving too. We give presents and lots of them. But again, for another reason, a different aspect of stewardship, and that is a teaching aspect, that we give gifts to remember that God has given us the greatest gift of all, his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so even as he has given to us generously, we sometimes very generously give to one another, especially at Christmas time. So, you know, all of this is a part of stewardship. I want to ask you a question this morning. It's a little bit of a bombshell, okay? But to think about things in a little bit of a different way. How can any of this giving that we do not be an affront to God? I know, yeah, that came out of left field, right? But how can anything that we give not be an affront to God? How can we give to God, who is spirit, something that is physical, and expect that that's going to be of value to him? How can we drop some money in a plate and think that is pleasing to God? Well, you know, what do we think that we're going to accomplish by that? Is that not an affront to God? Do you really think that God needs what you have to give? Can you really give to God something that he already owns? Do you think that the small gift that you give in comparison to the wealth of God is going to be significant at all? These are some interesting stewardship questions to ask ourselves. And I would say to you, the answer to all those questions is yes. That God can be pleased, and he is pleased with the gifts that you offer to him. big or small, physical, money, whatever. God is and can be pleased with them. And the question is why? They can be because God has come to us, particularly in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me try to make this clearer by using kind of an extreme example. I'm going to hold up for you today Docetic Gnosticism, which in Docetic Gnosticism, the teaching is that material things are evil. Okay? So the way it started was, you know, God is spirit, so God is good, and so the spiritual is good. You'll look at ourselves and our condition, and you say, well, man is physical, and there's evil in this world, so the material must be evil. And so in this Gnosticism, then, the thing that's really of concern is not so much a victory and forgiveness of sins as it is escaping from the physical and material. That's what salvation is, to somehow escape from this body of evil that we have. All right, well, the problem comes in with the incarnation of Jesus. What do you do with that? Because God is spirit and he's good, and material is evil. How then can God be incarnate? How can he take on human flesh? Because if he does so, he becomes evil. And so in Docetic Gnosticism, the incarnation really doesn't make any sense. And so what they say is that, yes, Jesus is fully divine, but he only seemed to be human. He wasn't really human. You looked at him and he looked human, he acted human, but he really wasn't a human being at all. He just seemed to be that way. So Docetic Gnosticism really throws a doubt on the incarnation. But now, where we're going with all of this, what would that say about stewardship? You know, if the material is really evil, how can you give anything to God? Because it's all evil. And you can't give an evil gift to God. Even the works of your hands, because it came from something material, your body, you know, it is produced by evil, so it's not a good gift. So stewardship just like goes out the window. It doesn't make any sense at all. Let's just use that as a foil to understand about Christianity and why stewardship is such an important part of our Christian lives. Because in Christianity, we understand that the things are good. Let me take you all the way back to Genesis, right? And remember the creation account. God created, and after day one, he said, it is good. After day two, it is good. Day three, all the way through, it is good, is it good, is it good, is it good. Human beings, it is good. So this world, human beings, essentially are good. But then you get to chapter 3 of Genesis and what happens, the fall, and then things begin to happen. Then sin enters into our lives, and there are consequences of the evil in this world. And, you know, that's when everything goes wrong. And then after that, the rest of the Bible was really about God coming back and correcting that which went wrong to restore it to its right place, being good. And that's what Christ is all about. That's why he has to become a human being. He has to be material, take on human flesh in order that he can save this material world, creation and us, our bodies. That's what the resurrection from the dead is all about. It's not enough that Jesus just died, but also that he had to rise from the dead physically in order to redeem the physical world and our physical bodies. And now start thinking about stewardship. What does it mean that God has redeemed our world and our bodies, us? What does that mean for stewardship? It means that now the gifts that you give to God can and are acceptable to him because they've been redeemed by him. And so God is indeed very pleased with the gifts that you give. So that God comes and he gives you all of this stuff of this world and he says, here, Use it for your good, for your enjoyment. Take care of yourself. Take other care of other people. But use it wisely. Use it for good purposes. And that's what stewardship is about. So the thing is, and here's the really important point, that God used material things, namely the body of Jesus, in order to bring about our redemption. God used the things of this world for divine purposes. And that means that he can continue to use the gifts, the material gifts that you give to him, to continue his redemption, work of redemption here in this world. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a great thing? That you get to participate with God in his continuing work with the gifts that you give. You know, whether that be your life, the work of your hands, the service that you give, or the gift of your possessions. The incarnation implies that God can come into a body and use that body for divine purposes. It implies that God can enter into the human mind and use the human mind for divine purposes. That God can enter into human arts of all kinds and use it for divine purposes. So that if God never came into time and space, never took on a human body, stewardship would make no sense whatsoever. But because Christ came into this world, because God comes to us in Christ in the flesh, therefore, our lives of stewardship have meaning. So on this first Sunday in Advent, it's a really good thing for us to think about and remind ourselves of. You know, as we begin to tell this story, the whole cycle again of what God has done in Jesus Christ for us, we remember it starts with him coming to us. Always starts with God coming to us. And then afterwards that we respond. And our response is that of stewardship. And so the whole story really is just all about this. God's grace and our response to his grace. And so God comes and he establishes his presence among us. In the Old Testament, that was in the temple. But then as we were talking about in Bible class today, that in the New Testament, that shifts from the temple to Jesus, that Jesus becomes the place where God meets us. Okay? And with his ascension, then God continues his work through the Holy Spirit in word and sacrament. This is where God meets us. And again, our response to that is a life of stewardship. And so let me encourage you as we begin a new church year to begin to think about this. What kind of steward are you? How can you be a faithful steward of that which God has given to you? And we remember once again how generous God has been, just starting with the earth and how it produces abundantly, not the minimal, but far more than what we would ever need. And you see, that's the kind of steward that God calls us to be. As we think about it, there are some guidelines for us. You know, in the New Testament, there are no laws. But in the Old Testament, there are certainly things that God told his people to do that are still informative for us. And so they're good ways of going about. Again, it's not a law. And we give according to our means. But, you know, it talked about the 10%. And that's a good benchmark for us to be working at, to be thinking about, and to be trying to give to God in that way. God says, hey, 90% is for you to do whatever you want with it. But I ask you to give 10% back to me. And the other guideline then that we see in the Old Testament is that of remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Again, that's part of our stewardship, of coming to the Lord's house and being in his midst, hearing from him and responding to him. on that weekly basis. Again, there's no law. That's why we don't worship on Saturdays anymore. But at Sundays, we're free. But see, this is a guideline for us. And then in that context, we can think about what generosity is. And we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday. You know, the generosity then is giving beyond that. You know, not just doing what you're supposed to be doing, but more so. Remember, that's the kind of God that we have. And so we too seek to be, and we're working towards. And there are mitigating circumstances. Sometimes we just can't do that. God understands that as well. But we want to try to be generous people as we respond to God. And so on this first Sunday of Advent, again, that's a good way for us to begin the church year, to remember God's grace to us, that he comes to us, particularly in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. But then what comes out of that is our response and our faithful lives of stewardship. In Jesus' name, amen.